This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
And
Jennifer Renee.
And this is Monday, July the 10th, 2006. Gosh, we had Pride Week, we had 4th of July, and now we are getting into the month of July and a lot of things going on in the community. Trying to organize a radio show.
Wait, did you miss the 4th of July while you were gone?
No, I had a 4th of July. I was just not in Central Texas, not in Houston.
I was in Provincetown.
Oh, was it a good time?
Oh, well.
He's bragging.
You're suffering.
Yeah. Actually, for me, not so much because I was getting over oral surgery, but, you know.
Baby. Should we go into details?
No.
Let's not. Nobody wants to hear about that.
No, please.
God. Well, we do need kind of to catch up with one another, but, you know, talking about big occasions like Pride and 4th of July, last night I gathered with a group of mostly friends, but they were mostly women that I already knew, and it so happened that they also knew someone else that I have known a long time and who was the guest of honor, a momentous occasion, a milestone event, because Pat Gandy turned 75 years of age.
Yesterday. At approximately 1:32 in the afternoon.
Yes. And Pat has been, you say long-time activist, I mean, it's like, you know, what does that really mean? But Pat started out as an activist many, many years ago and was primarily active in the Democratic Party. And how did you get involved in politics?
Well, my father was a very active person in politics. He held the he always went to the Democratic precinct conventions in our little town, and both of my parents were knowledgeable about politics. My father was a union member, the only one in the little town of Waller at that time.
Oh, in Waller,
and
oh,
that was in the 40s and
what
50s.
Trade?
He was a railroad agent for the Southern Pacific. He was a member of the Brotherhood of Railroad Clerks and Telegraphers, so he got a newspaper called Labor. And I always read it from cover to cover, and so I knew the names of all the congressmen from everywhere who were anybody and all that. And actually, I listened to the elections come in 1944 and 48. I was already away in college. But my first real act, Mother and Dad talked politics and history and government at the breakfast and supper table usually, and just like a lot of people talk about the weather or what they did and whatever. We talked politics and we talked history
and were Democrats.
Oh yes, oh yes.
You didn't stray from the fold.
No, I didn't. And I like to tell people that I went to college and studied political science and history, and I not only then became a Democrat by geography and family ties, but a Democrat by conviction and by intellectual acceptance of what I believe the Democratic Party was and has always been. Not perfect, but it has always been on the cutting edge of the great social movements and economic movements of whatever time period since I remember history.
And so that's been a walk. When you consider that at the age of 75, you were born just a few years after women got the right to vote.
Yes, very few years after.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when we say an activist in the Democratic Party, what does that look like? What kinds of things does one do as an activist in a political party?
Well, I started out, my dad trained me on how to win precinct conventions. He typed out on his typewriter three resolutions. We're going to go to this when I turn 21, and that's how old you had to be to vote then. He was going to go to the precinct convention, and he gave me instructions. He said, "Here, you take these phrases, these motions, and you're going to make them because they're going to nominate me for chairman, so I can't make motions from the floor. So I learned my first strategy, you know, in that. That was later on in 52. And so, sure enough, that's what happened. They elected him chair of the convention, and I read the the motions, and they all passed, and we got elected then delegates to the county party. So that's how it started out. But really, I started some grassroots politics before that. In 1946, a bunch of us in my senior class, I graduated in 1947. Well, in 46, a bunch of us wanted to have a dance at the high school gymnasium. So we said, you know, why can't we? Well, the principal and the superintendent said, well, we've never done that.
We're getting it.
No, they didn't say they were getting it. They said, y'all have to talk to the school board if you want something like that. And I thought, well, no, I don't think they said that. That was my father that said that. They said, well, we can't do that because the board won't allow it. And I asked my father, I said, well, what can we do about that? He said, you go to each board member. You get up a petition first, and you go to each board member, and you talk to them. And so a couple of us did that. We passed around a petition in the high school, and we got practically every high school student at that time, which is only about 99, small school. And then we started making the rounds on Saturdays or Sunday afternoons of all the school board members, and most of them lived out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out one of them used to play a guitar at country dances. And we got the support of all of them. And they voted in the next school board election to let us have our dance. And we had it. And, of course, we were vilified in one of the local churches. Only one of them, though.
I can guess the denomination.
You probably
but
can.
Well, some things never change. We get vilified on a regular basis.
Right.
In some of the churches.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, some churches are good at that. They eschew the real Christian attitude. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but
so that really gave you a sense of what it's like to take an action and then have a positive result.
Oh yes, I was energized
and
by that.
You were hooked.
I was hooked then. There was no turning back. And then in college, I did a lot of things, but mostly I was a member of a few clubs and so forth, and I was president of a couple of them. But mostly I was just there to. It was a new world for me because it was in a larger city. I met women from, it was a woman's school, and I mm-hmm. met, it was Texas Women's University in Denton. It was called Texas State College for Women then, and three of my aunts had graduated from mm-hmm. there.
Now, you mentioned last night at your lovely dinner that back in those days, as a young woman entering the work world,
yeah.
that there was a limitation to what was acceptable for a woman to take on as employment.
Right.
And you did choose one of those professions.
Yes, I did. I was the more cowardly of women. I know women who did, you know, got into the field of being doctors or lawyers, but they had one heck of a terrific struggle. When I entered college in 1947, the most you could expect to do if you were a woman was to get a job teaching or nursing or, you know, social work of some kind, working in, in the social work system or maybe doing a few other things you might could
working
do.
Working in a department store.
Yes, yes.
Being a clerk of some kind.
And then maybe you could work yourself up mm-hmm. if you could. And most of them, then it didn't, of course, because most of the executives were all men. And I wanted to be something else, and my mother said, oh, well, okay, you can be that, but you take these teaching courses, it'd be good in, it's just like insurance.
Something to
well,
fall
she knew
back
how, yeah,
on.
She, yeah, fall back on. But as it turned out, I love teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on, and I never looked back in terms of anything else, because it fit me better than the the other occupation probably would have.
Mm-hmm. And so you married, mm-hmm. as you said, more than once.
More than once. Twice.
And but
there's nothing wrong with it.
But no, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. I knew very early that I was one of those people called homosexuals because I looked.
You're a homosexual?
Yes.
Oh,
a lesbian homosexual.
As a matter of fact.
Yes, and I looked it up in the dictionary at the college I went to, and it said, you know, you were that we were. It was a perverted condition, and it was illegal, immoral, and all that. And I said, oh hell, that's not me. You know,
that can't be right.
That can't be right. So I'll just, you know, that's not me. So I'm not going to go any further. And I kept myself in a period of denial. It wasn't so much denial. It was I was just shoving it to the back. And as life went along, I found out that I had to drink a lot to keep it in the back because, you know, I'm a fairly normal person otherwise.
I understand that completely. I sure do.
Yes, I'll bet. And you really, you know, these people that say, oh, well, you can get rid of that. Well, they're just flat lying because if you really are a person of if you have real questions about your sexuality, you need to understand that these are forces within you that you just can't stop. You just can't stop.
Right. And so eventually you left your marriage and you joined the community, still being active in the Democratic Party. And then I guess the first time I ran into you was at a gay and lesbian political caucus meeting. At that time, the gay political caucus.
Yeah, I came out I was 55 years old when I came out. Subtract that from
75. Oh, my gosh.
75. Right. It was 20 years ago. So
yeah. When you were my age.
Yeah.
When you were close to my age.
Yeah, when I was close to your age. That was the first time I came out, and I came out with you know, running very hard because I joined.
Had to make up for lost time.
I know it. I run into somebody that I knew, I got to know during a political campaign 2 years before. A young man by the name of Steve Kirkland.
Oh, yeah.
Who is now a city judge. When I decided after consultation years later, a couple of years later with my therapist and all, I decided I was going to have to come out. And my husband at the time was very supportive of that, and he and I remained friends. We never divorced at his insistence because he wanted to make sure that I was economically protected because he was one of these, you know, he was one of these people that believe that right's right and wrong's wrong and government didn't have any business messing with your personal lives.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear is right. And he was sort of, you know, he was a good guy in that sense. So, you know, I had a lot.
And I think you helped him as when he was passing, right?
Yes.
He was ill, and you were there for him.
Oh, yeah. He died rather suddenly, actually, and I made all the arrangements for the funeral and all, and I got people to talk who honored him as an individual, and we stayed in contact with him, and you know, in fact, the first thing, as soon as I moved out of Montrose, he called me up one day. I moved into Montrose. He called me up one day and says, "Do you need a microwave?" And I said, "Well, I could probably use one, but you know," he said, "Well, I'll get you one." And then he brought it out, and I said, well, why is this? He said, I never realized how much trouble it was doing your own, fixing your own food and all. And you need a microwave.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So as we've progressed, and you know, here we're coming up short on our time, because I know you have a rich history of being involved in politics, and we haven't even gotten to your current involvement, such as in Assisters and the Lesbian Health Initiative, which I think you might want to say a little bit about.
Oh, yes,
We've had you on a number of times to talk about when there's a health fair or whatnot, but Well, let's give it a plug.
Oh, yes, we need to give LHI a plug. Well, actually, LHI was organized, that's a lesbian health initiative, about 14 years ago. And I belonged to it for a while and was as president of that organization, too. But at the same time, I was fixing to get really heavily involved in politics, and my time would be short. So I resigned. I don't like to be in an organization that I can't give my full time to. So at that time, I was planning on running for the State Democratic Executive Committee from Senate District 6. And I did, and I won, and I was also on the board of LGRL, which is now the Equality Texas, and I was co-chair for a couple of years with a wonderful young man from San Antonio whose name just flat escapes me. I hope he's in San Antonio, I hope, won't know I'm from getting his name.
He'll come to you in the middle of the night.
Yeah, in the middle of the night. But, and then I got... retired from my teaching job after, and that was about in 95, I took a little sabbatical of sorts and roamed the countryside, New York and here and there and wherever. And then in 2001, I decided to get back active with LHI, and that was the same year I met my present companion, Lucy Watson, who is the president of LHI. LHI furnishes mammograms for women who do not have insurance, and we give...
Among health, other health.
Among other health, yes. And we help them follow... If anything a positive shows up, we help them follow it through money-wise and help connect them to organizations that can see them through the whole process, even if it means an operation. They're not just left dangling. Yeah.
And if someone wants to get in touch with the organization, how do they do that?
You would call our phone number, which is 713-426-3356. Or we're on email us at LHIHouston.org. LHI@LHIHouston.org.
All small letters. Pat Gandy, happy 75 years.
Yeah.
during that time, what do you think has been the most significant thing that has happened concerning, in particular, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered community?
Well, I think probably the decision about the sodomy law, 2106, was a huge milestone. And since 20 years ago, I became very active politically with the Houston Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus. And since that time, things look so hopeless about a lot of things that I felt like we were really struggling. But I'm a person of great faith in the future and in faith that has faith that if we all put our shoulders to the wheel, if we all vote and vote for people who will help us, and at the least, vote for people who won't harm us. One thing I've learned in all these years, you cannot expect a politician to be your cheerleader. The black African-American liberation movement did not get its real start going until those activists, young activists in the African-American community took hold and said, we're not going to put up with this
crap anymore.
And sure enough, that's when things started to move. You cannot depend on politicians to do that. They can't be your cheerleaders. So if all they do is not hurt you, you better be satisfied.
Well, I'll tell you, if you ever have the pleasure of meeting Miss Gandy, the first words out of her mouth are likely to be, and especially if you're female, you should run for office.
Yes.
I cannot tell you how many people have told you that that's the first thing you have ever that you ever said to them. So,
well, you know, Deborah, I ran for city council in Deer Park back in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
I ran against an incumbent, a Baptist, and a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little opposition group going. City politics were fun back mm-hmm. in those parts in those days. We had a slate of people running, and of course, I got the lousiest position to run in because I was a woman, of mm-hmm. course. And now that I look back on it, I didn't realize what was happening then until I stopped and looked. But I was running against this incumbent, and the others had non-incumbents. And I lost, but I lost by only 7 votes, 610 to 603. And that was in 1963 out in East Harris County. And, of course, I wasn't out then, but I didn't behave much differently than I do now. I mean, I didn't dress a whole lot differently
yeah.
either.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, on the radio, we're all tens.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Pat, thank you so much for joining us on Queer Voices and sharing some of your life with us. And I hope to have many more years. We've known each other 20-some
yeah,
odd years, so I look
years.
Forward to many more. And we're going to hear some music, and we'll be back with some community news and briefs. Thank you for listening to Queer Voices.
Go vote.
Retribution to hold his hand on the street, on a date, simple dream. Doesn't seem like special rites. Exchanging wedding vows, this sacred institution, his next of kin, acknowledged by the state. Don't be scared, we're prepared to handle special rights. Special means distinctive, unique, or uncommon. How uncommon can they be when the vast majority have them granted, take them for granted. As for the IRS, I want to file jointly with the man I love. So why am I denied special? So special, I am wise to the fact that special rights are really equal rights in not to say. With this ring and have that, bring a world of privileges and great responsibilities of married life, acknowledged by the state. Special rights, I guess they are quite special. I'm in line when the day comes that special rights meaning equal rights are mine.
That was
John Whitley with his song Special Rights on Queer Voices. And now, from This Way Out, here is News Wrap.
I'm Kathy Sanchez.
And I'm Charles Hall.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 8, 2006. High courts in two U.S. states this week ruled against marriage equality for lesbian and gay couples in what the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force's Matt Foreman called a tortured and intellectually strained decision. New York's Court of Appeals said in a 4-2 ruling on July 6th that because heterosexual couples can have children accidentally, while gay and lesbian couples can only choose to have them, state law should therefore encourage heterosexual matrimony by denying same-gender couples the right to marry. The majority decision, written by Judge Robert S. Smith, an appointee of Republican Governor George Pataki, said that the state constitution does not compel the recognition of marriages between members of the same sex because heterosexual intercourse has a natural tendency to lead to the birth of children. Homosexual intercourse does not. It said limiting marriage to heterosexual couples was based on a sense that children are best raised by two opposite gender parents, even though there's no hard evidence to support that reasoning. In fact, according to a report released this week by the American Academy of Pediatrics, children of same-gender couples benefit when their parents are able to marry or form civil unions. The ruling concluded that whether same-gender marriages should be recognized is a question to be addressed by the legislature.
In her dissenting opinion, Chief Judge Judith Kaye argued that it is uniquely the function of the judicial branch to safeguard individual liberties guaranteed by the New York State Constitution and to order redress for their violation. The court's duty to protect constitutional rights is an imperative of the separation of powers, not its enemy. I am confident that future generations will look back on today's decision as an unfortunate misstep.
Angry gays and lesbians gathered across New York State that night to protest the ruling. About 1,000 people demonstrated in Sheridan Square in New York City's West Village. Hundreds of others protested in Albany, Rochester, and four other cities around the state.
As a side effect of the New York High Court ruling, couples from that state who were part of the lawsuit in Massachusetts demanding the right to marry for out-of-state lesbi-gay couples will be dropped as plaintiffs. Even though the Bay State's Supreme Judicial Court ruled in favor of marriage equality in 2003, it upheld a 1913 law in March of this year banning any out-of-state couple from marrying there if the couple's home state would not legally recognize the marriage. However, the court also said that there could be exceptions for couples from Rhode Island and New York because marriage laws in those states seem unclear at the time. That's now no longer the situation in New York. The case involving the Rhode Island couples returned to a lower court last week. A Washington State Supreme Court ruling in a marriage equality lawsuit has been pending since the case was heard in March 2005. Similar lawsuits are working their way up the judicial ladder in California and New Jersey.
On the same day as the New York ruling was handed down, the Georgia Supreme Court unanimously upheld the state's voter-approved constitutional amendment to ban same-gender marriage and to refuse to recognize lesbian and gay couples who've been legally united outside the state. It also denies Georgia courts jurisdiction over separations, property disputes, or any other legal issues arising as a result of or in connection with any such relationship. The amendment's opponents had argued that the ballot measure violated state law by addressing more than one specific issue, but Georgia's high court decided that a proposal doesn't violate the single subject rule as long as its various parts are germane to the main issue. Measures to ban marriage equality in state constitutions failed in the Pennsylvania legislature this week and seem to be coming up short in a petition drive in Illinois. However, marriage equality opponents in Arizona submitted what appeared to be enough signatures this week to qualify a November state ballot measure constitutionally banning same-gender marriage in that state.
The first legal same-gender unions in Central Europe took place at registry offices across the Czech Republic this week. The country's civil partnership law came into effect on July 1st, but lesbian and gay couples there appeared reluctant to exchange vows under the media spotlight. Only three couples took advantage of the new law on its first day, and none in the capital city of Prague. The first to register their partnership in Ostrava in northern Moravia was a gay male couple, identified only as Karel, and a man variously named Pepa or Joseph in different media reports. Well-wishers joined the couple as the men exchanged vows, and then, with a string of tin cans attached to the bumper of their car, sped off to a small reception. The Czech law gives same-gender couples who register their partnership inheritance and health care rights similar to those heterosexual married couples enjoy. It specifically does not, however, allow marriage or adoption.
What was by most accounts a sensationally successful Pride parade on July 1st capped a two-week European festival of LGBT culture in London. Streets in central London were closed as marchers, floats, dancers, and bands joined the EuroPride procession. Spectators cheered as the parade, featuring a giant rainbow flag, wound its way along Oxford Street, through Piccadilly Circus and Trafalgar Square, then Whitehall and Victoria Embankment. Organizers estimated the crowd at 750,000, while a Scotland Yard spokesperson set the number at 40,000, perhaps contributing to relatively minimal coverage of the event in mainstream media. About 40 uniformed Royal Navy personnel led the parade, thought to be a first at any Pride event in the world. Army and Royal Air Force personnel, however, were not given permission to take part in uniform. Several British lawmakers, along with Europe's first transgender politician, Italian MP Vladimiro Guadagno, better known by her drag name, Vladimir Luxuria, spoke at a post-parade rally. "It's important to represent the whole community," Luxuria said, "to give them all a voice."
Thousands of LGBT people and their supporters paraded in Caracas on July 2nd, the sixth year in a row that Venezuela has held a Pride March. The colorful and lively parade, the closing event of a month of LGBT activities, ended at Plaza Venezuela with a post-parade rally followed by music and dancing. One of the parade's organizers, 21-year-old Georgi Martinez Torres, who is also a nationally recognized gymnast, marched bare-chested and flipped his way down the street to the delight of the crowd. "We are here to show the community that we don't just go out at night, as many believe," he said, "and we are going to demonstrate how many of us there are."
June 24th and 25th were also popular days for Pride parades around the world. Drizzly skies didn't stop about 5,000 people from marching through central Dublin before thousands of spectators, said to be Ireland's largest Pride parade ever. Several thousand people also marched in Rome, while a larger Italian parade took place in Turin the week before.
Hundreds of thousands made central Toronto festive, and, as the Toronto Star reported, joining the revelry were many corporations, banks, car companies, and phone service providers, to name a few, as well as politicians of all stripes, including a pack of Liberal Party leadership hopefuls.
400 people marched in Lisbon, while more than 1,000 marched in Athens' second-ever Pride Parade. At a post-parade festival, activists called for access to civil marriage and lesbian-gay-neutral sex education in schools.
About 50,000 people turned out with pride in the Dutch city of Zwolle, while queers and their friends in Valencia celebrated the first anniversary of Spain's marriage equality legislation at a parade with the theme of "For Diversity, All Families Matter."
And finally, as the U.S. baseball season reaches the All-Star break, one local gay night spot is honoring Chicago White Sox manager Ozzie Guillen, well, sort of. The Kit Kat Lounge and Supper Club, known for its outrageous drag shows and celebrity named martinis, has introduced the Effin' Ozzie Guillentini, which comes with a copy of the Chicago Sun-Times sports section. Serving the paper on the side is a nod to Sun-Times sports columnist Jay Mariotti. Last month, Guillen went on a tirade against Mariotti over a story criticizing the way he was managing the White Sox. "What a piece of S he is, effing fag," Guillen said about Mariotti in his well-publicized rant, which, of course, we can't fully report without violating U.S. broadcast obscenity laws. Guillen later apologized, but was fined by baseball commissioner Bud Selig, who also ordered him to undergo sensitivity training. In his apology, Guillen claimed that he isn't homophobic and has many friends in the gay community. He also said he intends to visit the gay games in Chicago on July 17th, an off day for his team. The Effin' Aussie Guillentini is made with assorted fresh fruit and Effin' vodka, the brand used in the drink, and also a euphemism for one of the curse words Guillen used. With the Sun-Times sports section, the cocktail costs $8.50.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 8th, 2006. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Kathy Sanchez.
And I'm Charles Hall.
This is Queer Voices. Jan Tilly with a song called Bricks and Bottles on Queer Voices.
Thank you, Glenn. And we have more coming up on Queer Voices. We're going to have the folks from Team Houston on to talk about all the things they have planned for the upcoming gay games that start next week in Chicago. And then later, Joan Devlin will be doing one of her interesting interviews talking about the upcoming Bewitched Convention. For some reason, that program has a huge gay following, and Joan is part of that following, and she's going to be talking to the organizer of the convention about what's in store for this year's.
It's the wiggling of the nose.
Yeah. Actually, they're going to salute Louise Tate, who was played by an actress named Casey Rogers, who unfortunately just passed away.
Oh, no.
So I did enjoy that. You remember
show.
Louise? She was the very elegant wife of Larry Tate.
Yes.
Well,
that wasn't the Tates of soap, was it?
No.
Oh,
different.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I get so confused sometimes. In the community, that being the GLBT and Friends community, you know, we just had the wonderful Pride Parade and the festival. That festival was really rocking. Wasn't it, Jennifer?
That was good. I enjoyed it.
And I got laid. In fact, you laid me.
Well, let's not discuss that on the air.
Yeah, a Hawaiian lay, rainbow colors.
Oh, you're talking about that. Rainbow colors and everything.
Which I'll get to wear.
Speaking of history,
did you go
to the history tent at the festival?
No, I'd never made it over there.
You didn't. It was one of the few air conditioned places.
Yeah, I was working the festival. I was selling tickets.
I did not realize there was so much history being saved here in Houston. You know, some of the things that were in there were just fascinating. And what I understand, that was barely a tenth of what is available for study, basically, because we don't have a place, a building where it's all on to be shown.
Mm-hmm.
You can, it's at MCC.
Resurrection mm-hmm. Metropolitan Community Church.
Yeah.
It was their archives.
Their archives.
We have the Gulf Coast Archives and Museum, which we would like to someday have a permanent home for so that people can research and see the things that are on display, because we do have a very rich history, and there are archives and documentation of our lives that are in different places around the country.
You know, I'm only 25, and honestly, I've never seen most of this stuff because I thankfully missed the AIDS era, but I also missed the Stonewall era. Uh-huh. And it's just, I couldn't
see. And who are you, by the way?
My name is LSR Saliba. I'm usually the engineer for the last 2 weeks, but today they decided to stick me in front of a microphone. And
well, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Ellie's one of the people that expressed an interest in volunteering and being part of the collective at Queer Voices, and we said, you go, because we like that when people want to take part and have something to offer. But is it interesting? I mean, I ran into some young people who had no idea why the parade was when it was, what Stonewall was, or any of that.
Yeah, I had to explain that to a few of my friends, my parents, my uncle, my brother, and so on. So a lot of people really have no idea what the parade's about, why we hold it in the middle of the summer of all times during the year.
In Houston, Texas, especially.
Yeah.
At least we had the sense enough to make it now be a nighttime parade.
Oh, yeah. They did that. When did they? 5 years ago? 6 years
something,
ago?
Well, okay. In 97, I was a Grand Marshal, and that was the first nighttime parade.
Oh,
so it's been for 9 years.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you know what? Even though we just had the parade, tomorrow night at the Metropolitan Community, the Multipurpose Center on West Gray, there will be a meeting. They call it the Community Feedback Meeting to review the parade and for everyone to tell the Pride Committee what was done right and what was done wrong. They can gripe about it all they want to. The meeting will be held starting at 7 p.m. And that's at 1475 West Gray. Everyone is welcome to attend and participate in the Pride Houston meetings. In addition, a volunteer interest session will be held prior to the feedback meeting starting at 6:30. And that way people can learn more about the organization and the many different ways that they can contribute to the community and what the volunteer opportunities are. The next year's festival, 2007, will be on Saturday, June the 23rd. Pride activities and planning for the June events take place year-round.
I was going to say that this is actually the start of the 2007 Pride.
Right. So people think it's just like that 1 week or that 1 month. But
no, you get a week or so off, and then you start in again preparing for the next one because there's so much that has to be done. It's gotten larger each year because of the participation. From what I understand, the numbers were more than they've been ever before in the that attended the parade and the festival. And the festival is twice as big as it was in the past.
Oh, gosh.
And it was so nice to have tents.
It was such
thanks to Bunnies on the Bayou for the tents.
It was such a good event. It was just really well done and enjoyable, great entertainment. The one reason Mr. Valinsky is not with us tonight is because he's executive director of Pride, and so he's at a board meeting for Pride. But so if you want to get involved, and I hope that you do, because one thing, it's a really fun group of folks, and being involved and actually there taking part is another way of serving the community and being part of the community. So you can find out more online at you send an email to info@pridehouston.org or go to www.pridehouston.org. And if you'd like to call, the number is 713-529-6979. General volunteer sessions are held at the Pride office at 1415 California every Thursday evening from 6 to 10 p.m. and every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for data entry, mail outs, and all kinds of fun stuff like that. And they say feel free to drop by and help out.
Yes, it's a fun thing. Just to go down there and volunteer for just a while, do your part. So much we talk about in our community is about politics and, them against us mostly. But the truth is that we do a lot of fun things. And one of those things is the Pride Festival and the Pride Parade. And it's something you can get involved. If you're not involved in the community in any way, get involved. Something other than just go hang out the bars, you can come and do something and contribute to the community. And, of course, don't forget to do the political part and get out and vote.
You have any bias on that.
I have a lot of bias. And a full disclosure, I'm president of the Houston GLBT Political Caucus, and one of the things that this community needs to do more than anything else other than join the caucus is to vote, to volunteer for candidates that are supportive of our issues, that vote in our favor. God, some people get out there and they have no idea who to vote for. Well, contact some. You can go to our website at www.hglbtpc.org, and you'll see who the caucus has looked at, interviewed, screened, made them answer the hard questions, and who the membership feels is supportive of our issues, and be part of the solution. Don't just sit out there and wait.
Yeah, just voting is not enough. You've got to be hands-on activists. Ellie, I guess you've had one presidential election that you've been able to, well, or two.
I've only been able to vote in one, so it's like a lot of people don't take voting seriously, especially the younger generation, and I don't mean this to disparage those who do. My apologies to everyone out there.
Disparage, go ahead. If they're not out voting, who cares?
But it's not just the presidential elections that we need to be interested in. It's the local ones, the city politics, because, while Houston's a pretty good place to live, Dallas itself has non-discrimination policies citywide as opposed to just for city employees in Houston. And these sort of things make it a lot easier for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people to both live openly and work in jobs that are good for them, without fear, because here, you have to worry about that, especially in Texas.
So it's not just about candidates, it's about policy as well, and the people that make the policy.
I mean, even though we're probably, even though it seems like it's going to be forever till we get a complete non-discrimination policy through Congress, we can still get ordinances in the city and at least encourage, very gently, city businesses to, be cool with us.
Well, mm-hmm. one of the things is that here in Houston, 75% of most of the major corporations in this city already have non-discrimination policies concerning GLBT members, employees. And this, you know, here we are, the fourth largest city in the United States, and we don't have a non-discrimination protection in housing and employment in this city.
And why do those companies or those places have those policies?
Because it attracts people to work for them.
And
the qualified people to come
work. The cream of the crop.
That's right.
And guess what? Many of those happen to be
GLBT people.
Oh, you almost made a little jingle out of that.
Oh,
we'll have to work on that.
We'll work on it next time.
Well, you know, on the federal level, they're at it again. I got a message.
They're always at it when Georgie's there.
Yeah, well, I got a message, as many other people did, from Matt Foreman, who's the executive director of the National Gay, Lesbian, Transgender, Bisexual Task Force. I'm going to put them all in there. The NGLTF, and that is a group that was founded in 1974 to build grassroots political power for the LGBT community and to win complete equality. And as you know, we're really having a struggle to win that equality. We've had some recent losses. I believe it was New York and Georgia that passed anti-same-sex marriage. But we recently had some success on the federal level last month. There was a major victory by stalling the momentum the right-wing opponents had by preventing them from getting a majority of the Senate vote on the federal marriage amendment. And despite that win, now the opponents have gone on to the House of Representatives. And likely next week there will be another vote in Congress to enshrine discrimination against same-sex families into the Constitution. The right-wing hopes these votes in Congress pay off for them with more hard right votes for the candidates in November. And that's why we need to make sure that they don't gain any more momentum and show the right wing in the country that dragging up ugly, hateful, divisive votes right before elections will not pay off. We've had enough. It's time to stop this amendment once and for all.
Our community needs to stand up and go out and vote. You know, there are ways of tracking our votes and how many people get out and how things will change. You know, basically we've got to show our support for those people who support us.
Well, this isn't just about going out and voting. If you go to the you can go to www.kintera.org/tr.asp. This is too long to say.
I was going to say.
Go to the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force website.
Good for you. Google it. You can find it.
NGLTF.org. Oh. And it will lead you to the leadership kit. And they give you several things that you can do. One is reaching your representative. Mm. And if you can't make an in-person appointment, because a lot of them are home in their home districts right now, and go and talk to them and lobby them. And Pat Gandy earlier was talking about, you know, going and lobbying members of the school board so they could have a school dance. Well, it's the same kind of thing. You go and you talk to them, and if you can't get a face-to-face meeting, you call them on the phone and you say, we don't want this. And whoever your representative is, whether you already know their position or not, they need to hear from you because, because Sheila Jackson Lee could be your representative if you're lucky, but if you call her and you in her office and say, we don't want that federal marriage amendment, you know, please, you know, we know you're going to vote against it, Sheila, but we please urge some of your colleagues to vote against it, and we're going to have your back because we know you're there for us and that we can count on you. And then you have other representatives that we know would be nowhere near where we want them to be. But so they need to hear from us, and you can get the leadership kit, and it tells you everything that you need to do so that we can stand up for fairness and against right-wing bigotry. We had the victory last month in the Senate, and now one more time we can win in the House, and I hope you will do that. Again, that's www.ngltf.org. So what else
is going on,
Jennifer?
You were turning blue. You were just going and going.
Well,
yes.
I was getting I was getting impassioned.
I can tell. All of you out there could have seen that. And
how lovely sight it was, I'm sure.
Well, one of the things that, you know, and to follow up on that slightly is, you know, it's about volunteering. You know, you can, everyone can do something. You know, if you can't write a check, you can volunteer. You can spend a day. One of the things that drives all campaigns is the volunteers. Those hours and hours of work that needs to be done, as simple as putting stamps on envelopes or stuffing envelopes, which is how I got involved many years ago. And, you know, it's okay to be a quintessential volunteer. Mm-hmm. They're needed. Mm-hmm. They're the most important part of a campaign sometimes.
Our community is fueled by volunteers. I mean, we're volunteers right now doing the show. Glenn's a volunteer. Well, Ellie's a volunteer.
I am?
Well, the yes. real... the
You thought yeah. you were going to get
you
a big check, didn't you? We tricked you with
poor
that.
Poor baby.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I like to remember and remind people is that, you know, who know Anise Parker, in her second election, second try, she was the second or third?
Third.
When she won, she didn't have a lot of money. But she had volunteers. She won
the
best volunteers in the world. Yeah, Deb and I were both volunteers. You weren't born then, I don't think. No, Ellie.
Junior high.
Junior high.
But that's okay.
She could have volunteered.
Because, you know, as like Pat will tell you, even though she's still active in the community, as we mature, we need people like Ellie to come in, and even people that may be not young in age, but new to the community. I mean, Pat was not a young person when she got involved in the community. No. So you can be of any age.
Neither was I.
Yeah, well.
We're still young, though.
Oh, yeah,
we're young at heart.
We're youthful in our
but
nature.
To finish up, Anise Parker won that election on the backs of the volunteers. The hours and hours of grassroots work that only can be done by volunteers. You can't pay enough money to get that grassroots work. So remember that anybody out there, you can always volunteer in the slightest way to make things happen for your community.
That's correct.
I mean, you know, we're all in this together.
Well, speaking of making something happen for the community, Ellie, don't you have an announcement?
Yeah. Gallo, the gay and lesbian Latin organization, is actually having a fish fry and networking mixer Friday, July 24th, starting at 7 p.m., running till 10 p.m. There's a small fee at the door, but, you know, you get fried fish, rice, and all your favorite condiments. Drinks will be available, and for...
Chocolate's my favorite condiment.
Mm. Okay, enough of that.
Whipped cream.
Yes.
I knew this was
Continue,
going
Ellie.
And we are talking about
fish. So how
fish.
Do people find out about the where, when, why?
The where, when, why. It's going to be over at Xavier and Abel, 62.
At their hacienda.
Fox Center Road, Houston, Texas, 77049. If you missed that, you can get all this information at www.houstongallo.org, or for the telephone inclined, we have you can call 713-710-0045.
And what is GAYO?
It's the Gay and Lesbian Latin Organization. So,
what do they do?
Oh, they're a charitable fundraising and social / cultural organization which is dedicated to educate and promote community building and involvement, instill pride, and do advocacy work for the GLBT and Q Latinos and our allies.
Well, that's really good.
That's good, yeah. Try to get out if you can. And one of the things, you know, since you're, we were talking about, you know, milestones and the like, it was interesting that I saw for the transgender community that, a federal judge identified a transgendered, a transsexual female in sex discrimination case, saying that it did fall under Title VII as sexual discrimination. So, small victories.
Since, another one,
you know,
for
the,
our,
you know,
side.
I have my little red tag.
Well, let's go to...
That's how the judicial system works. Small victories.
Yes, that's right.
So let's go to a bit of music. Clint says no. I think he's been intrigued by something.
Just go ahead and sing. It's okay.
He was intrigued by something on the computer.
We've got less than 2 minutes here. Well, I can dial you up something that would be short enough that we could play it before the top of the hour.
Okay, why don't you do that? So, because we have some guests we need to bring in, I think.
Okay.
Well, opponents of gay rights, and there are many here tonight, often speak of homosexuality as a lifestyle choice. You've heard that, you know, like it's something you might do on the weekend. And I think that's an apt description, actually, because just the other morning I was saying to myself, I think I'll be a homosexual. I think I'll change my basic outlook on life. I'll simply switch the stance I used to take as an excuse to take a little vacation from the wife. Don't take a Harvard intellectual to know that being gay means to rejoice. I think I'll kiss a beatnik poet and ruin marriage as we know it. I think I'll make a frivolous lifestyle choice. I think I'll be a homosexual. I'll do it just to piss Pat Robertson off. Become a member of the 1 in 10 and maybe unintentionally get a decent quaff. So call me fey and ineffectual and pass a law to take away my voice. Cut the funding for research, burn my effigy in church because I made a frivolous lifestyle choice. I'll raise my kids the way I raise my kids. I'll even serve my country well. So some gerrymandering philanderer can tell me that I'm going straight to hell. I think I'll be a homosexual. I've never had a mortal sin to confess. I learned to take a punch and when in Rome, do like the men in Rome, and wear a collar and a dress. You may object and I expect you will. Some things are not so easy to reverse. I'll be from Boulder or from Boise, from New England or New Jersey. I think I'll make a frivolous lifestyle choice. And while I'm at it, I'll be a woman. And superhuman and Harry Truman. I think I'll make a frivolous lifestyle. Find a rhyme for lifestyle. Make a frivolous lifestyle choice.
And I think we have managed to not play that before on the show. That's a group called The Foreman with a song called I Think I'll Be a Homo. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Valinsky, Joan Devlin, J.D. Doyle, and the rest of the Queer Voices crew.
Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy. This way.
I always love it when Glenn plays that little pre-recorded thing and it has a list of people and none of them happen to be here tonight.
And I'm left off of it.
And I'm not on it.
That's right, you're not.
But Joan
this
will
is
be
Jennifer
on.
Renee and Deb.
Deborah Bell.
Yes.
But Joan Devlin will be joining us later in the program tonight. And anyway, we ever changing, ever fluid and whatever, you know, we go with the flow. But we are very excited because, you know, I have on my cheerleader uniform, which you cannot see over the radio.
And she looks ever so cute in
I am cute. And I
those
have my
legs.
Ooh, they go all the way up, you know. And I've got the pom-poms because I'm cheering on Team Houston. Woohoo! And so we have Keith Wright and Gary
Greer.
Greer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, he's
welcome
cute
tonight.
They're both
yeah.
really cute, aren't they?
Very much
so. If I was into boys, I'd really like them. But anyway, they're cute for boys. And they're also athletes. Jocks.
Well, so I was once too. I was an all-state football player.
Yeah, well, that was back in the day.
All-American track.
Yeah.
Well, I still have nice legs. Anyway, that's enough about us.
But there's never enough about us, Jennifer. But you know, you could get back into it. I bet they would recruit you.
Oh, I don't know.
Absolutely, that's one of our slogans. We recruit.
Yeah. So, Keith, you've been on before. We kind of talked a few months ago, telling folks that there was this thing going to happen, and saying if you want to get involved, and there's all these teams and different things you can do, and
sure.
And then Outsmart this month, for the month of July, did a whole spread on some of the athletes that are going to be going to the gay games. There's actually two
events.
Mm-hmm.
The Gay Games in Chicago, Gay Game 7, and then the First World Out Games in Montreal.
Out Games are mm-hmm. in Montreal. And there are... Who composes Team Houston?
Team Houston is a local city team. We're organized as a 501c3, and we basically promote gay and lesbian sports groups and organizations. And we also organize, of course, the Team Houston contingent to the gay games and out games and similar events.
Now, there hasn't been out games before. That's a new one, right?
No, that's a new one.
Okay. And so they're back-to-back. So people are going off, and they're going to compete in one series of games, mm-hmm. and then they're going to go compete again the following week?
Well, in fact, most people have chosen one or the other.
Uh-huh.
And out of Team Houston, there's so far three people that I know that are going to both. And there may be a few more, but I mean, I'm going to both and competing in both as president of Team Houston. We have a cyclist, Hannah Michelle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to compete in both. And we've got a friend who's... He's also going to both, but everybody else is kind of picked. You know, they can only afford so much or have so much vacation time. So pick
the
one.
The Houston Pride Band is going, and they're mm-hmm. now. Do they assemble with other Pride
yes.
bands for
yes.
one big
mm-hmm.
group?
Not an expert on that, but it's called Team Band. Absolutely.
Okay, and they're not competing; they're just part of the festivities.
Yeah, they'll put together one big band, and similarly, they've got a chorus and one big chorus, and I'm sure they're in the opening ceremonies, and I think the closing ceremonies, they'll have one or two concerts throughout the week, both the band and the chorus.
Mm-hmm. And there are a series of events going on around the gay games.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's not just about that.
What kind of sports are you competing in? I mean, you know, when we talk about Team mm-hmm. Houston, people out there, you know, what is it that they need to do to get involved? We mentioned cycling just a moment ago. Mm-hmm. What other sports are involved? And how can they get in touch with you guys to get involved?
Sure. Well, the easiest way to get in touch with us is to join our Yahoo group. It's called right now Gay Games Team Houston. Or just Google Team Houston, and you'll end up finding us pretty easily. And on our Yahoo group, which is a little easier to maintain than our website, we've got links to all the 25 or 30 gay and lesbian sport groups around town.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's something for everybody, and if you don't see something you like, well, we'll start a new one.
Well, and Gary, this is your first time to come on Queer Voices?
Oh, no, I've been on many, many times.
Many mm-hmm. times.
Absolutely.
I don't remember being you. Mama's not, I've been here that.
You were all fooling around somewhere.
Oh, thank you. Well, okay, so your sport is volleyball.
Yes, that's right.
And so how many people are on a team in volleyball from Houston going to take part in this? I love the name of the team. Hustle.
That's
Houston
right.
Houston Hustle.
Not Hustlers. Hustle.
Yes.
And it is a team sport, and I have a wonderful team that I'm fortunate to be a member of. I have to shout out to one of our teammates whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, Mark. But our team has eight players.
Shout out to Mark.
Hi, Mark.
everybody on the team is a lot younger than me, especially Mark. So
really?
They're a bunch of cute guys. We have eight players on our team, and six can be on the court at one time, and we have people ready to sub. Because, you know, it's going to be a long week. We're going to play a lot of volleyball.
So you have a diversity of ages.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we have a wonderful league here that's open for men and women. It's Lone Star Volleyball Association, LSVA.org. We have three seasons during the year, and our season will start back up after the gay games in August.
And you are one of the people that is featured this in the Outsmart? I'm flipping the pages and they're saying...
Of Outsmart magazine this month, which is featuring Team Houston. So if you don't have one, go out and get one.
Right. There's actually two different sports at the gay games. Indoor volleyball, which our team is going. And also...
Wise.
And there's outdoor volleyball, sand volleyball, which is two persons... teams, and there's several teams from Houston going to play in the sand volleyball. There's two teams going in indoor, and I think three teams going in sand volleyball.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And so what other kinds of sports are involved?
Boy, there's, of course, running, cycling. You might see in the article there's badminton. There's dance sports. And I think Keith can speak to more of the Houston effort here.
Sure. And we've got a huge number of tennis players and also billiards players going.
Wow.
I think, in fact, outside of Chicago, Houston has the most representation for billiards players going to the gay games.
Now, I heard they're having rollerblade racing?
Roller racing. Not in Chicago for the gay games. They did that back in 1994, but it's an optional sport, and this year, this time, they're not doing it. But in Montreal, at the out games, mm-hmm. we've got, it was supposed to be four, but it's really going to be three people doing mm-hmm. that. Two guys from Beaumont, and then Keith Peters here locally.
And martial arts.
You know, I don't know that person, but I see him on a list, and we've got at least one person going up for martial arts.
Now, bridge, is that, that's a sport?
If you've ever played bridge, you know it is.
Oh, I've never played bridge.
Full contact.
Full contact bridge. Okay, maybe I should look into that.
I think that one's also at the out games.
Yeah. Now, before, I know that they've had, like, ballroom dancing, and they've mm-hmm. had ice skating and in other sports. But so we have a wide representation of sports from Team Houston that are going to participate. So you just do this like once a year, every 2 years? How often do the gay games come along?
Mm. Well, the gay games are quadrennial, just like the regular Olympics.
Gosh, that's a word I couldn't even say.
So it's every 4 years, and they started up in 1982, and they've gone every 4 years since then.
Tom Waddell.
Tom Waddell, yes.
Dr. Tom Waddell.
Mm-hmm. And this year, well, as you know, the gay games were originally awarded to Montreal, and they had a little spat or something.
a tiff.
And the gay games were moved to Chicago about 3 years ago, I think. And then Montreal decided, well, they were going to go ahead and have their thing, and created this event, the first World Out Games.
Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful.
And they've actually got, I think they're going to go, they've agreed to go off cycle after this year. So the next big, the second World Out Games will be in 2009.
They won't be like competing with each other. Yes. It'll just give people more opportunity to do their mm-hmm. activities.
Yes.
So you practice
yes.
all during the, in between games.
Oh, sure.
During the year, how do you begin to get a team together? Gary?
Well, I first came out for the Volleyball League here in Houston, and that's how I learned the sport, and there was an opportunity to train and get some coaching and kind of move up a little bit and form teams, and now we have, I've been involved with it for a while. We have a wonderful team, so every season we have three or four different divisions. We can handle people who have never played volleyball before, even the best players. There's a power division for them or a recreational division, and there's a competitive division in between.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, is that your only sport?
Well, I like to run, and I do aerobics and lots of other things. But volleyball, to me, is my favorite sport because it's, an ultimate team sport, and you work together. I've kind of... The Outsmart, I thought it was going to be a focus on our team, and it had a biography only of me, which is kind of not so much for a team sport. It should focus on our whole team.
Right. But there is a picture of the team.
Absolutely.
So,
thank goodness.
They're cute, too.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Many cute people are featured in this spread. I think Yvonne Feast did the photography.
No, John Conroy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I was going to give credit to the wrong person there.
John Conroy, he did an amazing job.
Yeah.
I saw in the pictures there's a lot of guys, but what about girls?
We've got a fair number of girls. We've got two cyclists.
Women.
Two cyclists, and we've got a couple of ice hockey gals that, we don't have an ice hockey team, but they're going to go play with another team. Quite a number of billiards players.
We have Tammy Boudreaux, who is a triathlon. Now,
yes.
That's pretty serious.
And Deborah, we have, with Team Houston, we have a motto of unity through sports, and particularly around gay pride, we get together and we come together with all the different sports and do either a float or walking contingent at the pride parade. And this year we had four booths at the festival, which was great. So we were tennis was right next to volleyball and softball, and there's a lot of women in each of the sports. Volleyball's represented with the lesbian community and women, and it's open to all. And there's a lot of women in the softball league, so there's quite a few women.
Do you know the range of ages of the athletes that are participating?
I happen to
know that Scotty Scott, who's going to be competing in badminton, and I also know that she is a senior Olympian in the senior games, 71.
Oh, and she kicks Heine, too.
She does. She's been doing it a long time, and she's still at it. So,
she's
and
just amazing.
Some of these people obviously are like in their 20s.
You know, there's a fair number in their 20s. There's even more. It's just all across the board, a number of 30-somethings and 40-somethings, and we've got, you know, a couple of 50-somethings also. It's just amazing.
And just something-somethings.
And so do y'all all get together as a group ever? I mean, all the different teams of all the different sports before you go off? I mean, how do you coordinate all that?
Well, you know, actually, just yesterday we had a package pickup. You know, we got our team uniforms together, and yesterday we had a little private pizza party somewhere. Well, at Star Pizza, I'll give
the
them a plug.
Best place to have a pizza.
Absolutely,
in
no.
my opinion.
And it was just very, very good. Because, you know, throughout the year, we are very focused on our individual sports and leagues and whatevers. But, you know, we want to create more opportunities where we get, you know, people cross training, talking the sports, different sports, talking to each other. The pride events were, you know, great example as well.
And also the sports, the individual leagues, and also Team Houston. We do a lot of philanthropy. For instance, we have a pageant that we do that raises money, and we put on a tournament, and we raise money for AIDS service organizations or gay and lesbian causes. And we support the other sports. For instance, Montrose Softball League has different fundraising events, and so there is a network. And Team Houston is hopefully bringing us together, and the Gay Games is a good rallying point to get something even go on to the next level.
Well,
if you're not the person out there that don't, you know, feels like they're athletic enough to compete or be part of, how else can the community support you guys?
Can I go and watch you?
Yes,
oh, absolutely.
You can I sponsor you? Can I volunteer?
Absolutely.
I might as well go and shake my pom-poms.
You bet. No, actually, we do have...
when you walk.
Behave yourself.
Well, no, we actually do have a number of folks going up to Chicago and Montreal as spectators to cheer and, you know, help celebrate the victories, and maybe one or two belly flops, too. People can help out here by, absolutely sponsoring a team. In fact, we've got a new team starting up. Got some flag football guys who are starting up, and in fact, just came from an organizing meeting with them tonight. New flag football team is called the Houston Hurricanes, and we're going to try to get a team together to compete in the what do they call it? Gay Bowl 6 up in Dallas in October.
Really? That's interesting, because I remember back in the 70s and 80s here in Houston, they had flag football tournaments and teams here. It's been a long time, though.
And then are there some, besides the flag football, is there like a new season of sports?
Sure. Yep. So, as Gary mentioned a little bit ago, the volleyball folks are in between seasons right now, and I think the bowling folks have got their summer league starting up right now, pretty soon. And Montrose Softball League is heading. They've got several teams heading to the Gay World Series in Atlanta in August.
For instance, we have our volleyball league is part of a national organization, and we have a tournament in San Antonio in early August, and then we have our season launches on Sundays starting August 13th, and every Sunday thereafter. Mm-hmm. We play from 4 to 9 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do we get in touch with y'all again? Give us all the contact information.
Sure. The email address is gaygamesteamhouston@gaygamesteamhouston.com. yahoo.org, yahoo.com, sorry, or just Googling the you know, Gay Games Team Houston, you'll find it.
All right. Keith Wright and Gary Greer, thank you for being with us on Queer Voices, and go Team Houston!
Thank you.
I guess you probably can't guess the name of that song, Let the Rainbow Shine. Uh-huh. That was Judy Small. And the guys, you want to say something? Let me open your mic. Okay.
was going to say it was when frogs fly.
No. When frogs fly. That's
yeah,
it, yeah,
something like that.
So anyway, the guys.
Love the song.
The guys left us these
bandanas.
Bandanas. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And Ellie is wearing hers already. She's got it
fashionably as a kerchief.
She
on
obviously.
Her head.
Yeah. She obviously knows how to put it on properly.
Well, yeah, and mine's tied around my neck.
Okay.
So
mine's
ready.
Around my ankle.
And Glenn's is in his back pocket. Now, I'm
there
not sure what color he's got, but
we won't say.
We better. He may not want to go out tonight with that bandana in
with
his
that
back
particular
pocket.
Color,
well,
yeah.
See, he's going to officiate and he's going to throw the flag. See,
oh, I
that's
know,
right.
I
yeah,
agree.
Yeah. The next time I'm on the stand refereeing volleyball, I'm going to wave this thing.
Well, you know,
absolutely.
I always tell people if there's something they want to get involved with in our community, that there's a queer something to it. So if it's bowling, you know, we just saw all the evidence. Volleyball, bridge, golf.
Uh-oh, Ellie everything. Has something to say.
Oh, yes, dear.
Oh,
blew her mind. Now she doesn't know what to say.
Now we're laughing.
Before we get too giggly, you know what? We should probably go to Joan Devlin.
Yeah,
yes,
Joan.
I want to
hear that this is interesting, this
and
Salem.
We're going from sports to
Bewitched.
That's right. And so now out to the fertile and tasty cornfields of Iowa, here is Joan Devlin.
Yes, hi, this is Joan Devlin, and I have on the line with me Mark Simpson, who is the chair of the third or fourth, I can't quite keep up anymore, annual Bewitch Convention. This year's convocation will be happening in Salem, Massachusetts, July 22nd to 27th. And it's a bittersweet time for us, Mark, and perhaps you could explain to our audience why.
Well, we've been preparing for a convention. We've all been really excited, particularly because we were going to be joined by Casey Rogers, who played Louise Tate on Bewitched. She was with us last year when we all went to Los Angeles for the premiere of the movie, and we were really excited about having her in Salem with us this year, and Casey was really excited about being there. Unfortunately, 2 weeks ago, she suffered a massive stroke, and she passed away last Thursday night. So,
it's a very sad loss because she was not just going to show up and sign autographs. She was going to tour with us all over Salem, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was planning on, you know, doing everything that we did and being right there with us. And, you know, she was as thrilled about it as we were. And so, you know, we're kind of it's kind of put a damper on it, at least for me. But you know, we kind of got to press on, and because that's what Casey would have wanted, and we've got to go and still have a good time in her memory.
That's right. Now tell our audience a little bit about what exactly we're gonna do at a Bewitch convention.
Well, we got a lot of stuff planned. It's going to be a 5-day thing, whereas, you know, usually we get together at either somebody's house or, like last year in L.A., it just lasted 1 day, but we've got a whole bunch of stuff planned. We're going to do the sights of Salem. We're going to go to Gloucester, and where they filmed one of the episodes, see the Fisherman's Memorial and Hammond Castle. We're going to have dinner at the Gloucester House. We're going to spend a day going down to Fall River, which is the where the home of Lizzie Borden is located, because Elizabeth Montgomery played Lizzie Borden in a TV movie. So we're going to go down there.
And Agnes Moorehead played her on radio.
Yes, she did. Another interesting connection between the two. So we're going to go down there and we're going to tour the house. And Casey was also very excited about that because she wanted to see the axe. I don't know if they actually have the axe, but that's what she wanted to see. And We're going to take a ghost tour, a walking ghost tour of Salem, and the next day we're going to do a witchcraft walk, which highlights all of the sites in Salem where the witchcraft trials took place, and you know where the supposed witches were hanged and so forth. And we're also going to be having some seminars and some different presentations. We've got a gentleman by the name of Peter Alachi, who has put together a booklet on the TV Land Samantha Stevens statue, which was dedicated last year and kind of caused a big controversy in Salem because a lot of the people in Salem kind of felt like it kind of made light of the witchcraft trials. So he's put together a booklet with some 3D photos and kind of a history, I guess, that kind of incorporates the filming of the Salem episodes from Bewitched and also things leading up to the dedication of the statue by TV Land. So it's,
I wanted to talk a little bit about this because Bewitched and as a result the conventions have a huge gay sensibility, don't they?
I would say yes.
And maybe we could talk about that a little bit. You know, Bewitched, of most of the, I'd say, pop culture shows, really has a huge, huge connection with the gay community.
Yes.
And what are some of the reasons for that, do you think?
Well, first and foremost, I think a lot of the actors on the show were gay. Not all publicly, I don't think, but Dick Sargent is the major one who, you know, came out back in, was it 91 or 92, something like that. But, you know, also, like a lot of the other actors as well. But also, I think a lot of it has to do with basically the not really the premise of the show, but I think the deeper meaning behind the show. You know, Samantha was a witch and she was married to a mortal, and she basically was in the closet. She couldn't come out as a witch because, you know, she was afraid of what would happen. And I think that a lot of gay people probably identify with that same sort of situation. I know I did for a long time.
And I'd also like to say that the witches were far more fabulous than the mortals.
Oh, for sure. No question about that.
The people are so much more fat. No, we'll go there. But, you know, for those who might be interested in the Bewitched Convention, July 22nd to 27th, very gay-friendly, very open. You'll meet lots of new gay friends and some new not-gay friends.
Oh, yes.
What should they do if people are interested in attending the convention? Because it is not too late.
Right. No, definitely not too late. You can contact me at bewitchedinsalem2006@yahoo.com. You can also visit the website that has the convention details, and that is bewitchedinsalem2006.tripod.com, and there's no www in front of it. And then also, if you go to the website, you know, you can find the email information and all that on the website. And it does have, you know, in detail the itinerary and everything that we're going to be doing and what's going on.
And there will be some free time as well for people who just want to explore. You know, that's a wonderful part of the
right,
country.
Right, exactly. There's going to be, we're having three nights of seminars on Saturday, Monday, and Wednesday, which is the last night, but Tuesday night, Tuesday night we're doing the Haunted Footsteps Ghost Tour, and I don't know if I have to check, but I don't think everybody is participating in that, so anybody that isn't could always, you know, there's a lot of interesting things to do in Salem at night as well, so Tuesday night they could do that, and then Wednesday basically up until about 3 p.m. is going to be basically a free day to go out and do whatever you want to do. At 3 p.m. we have the Witchcraft Walk. And so, yeah, there's definitely, you know, free time to do some exploring.
Great. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being with us this evening. And if you could just give the people one more time the contact information if they're interested in coming to the Bewitched in Salem Convention 2006.
Sure. I can be emailed at bewitchedinsalem@yahoo.com, or you can visit the website bewitchedinsalem2006.tripod.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Mark. We appreciate it. And I can't wait to see you in Salem in like 10 more days.
I can't wait.
You're listening to Queer Voices.
Variety was the spice of this year's Out Music Awards Gala. Our audiophile team was on the scene to capture the sounds that celebrated the winning songs.
She's from down in Oklahoma, it's been called the Sooner State. She was born first time at zero, and then again at eight. That's when she heard them voices a-calling from above. Don't let homosexuals must get their share of love. Anita, whoa, Anita, that juice has filled your cup. But Anita, oh yes, Anita, you're still the second runner-up.
That's the voice of Tom Wilson Weinberg, and he was just one of those honored at the Out Music Awards, held in New York City on June 11th. I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm Christopher David Trentum. On this expanded edition of Audiophile, we bring you the music and voices of the awards.
Out Music was founded over 16 years ago and is a network of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered musicians and supporters. Its slogan describes its goal: making music within community and community within music.
For this year's awards, over 500 songs were submitted from 119 artists in 15 categories. They hailed from all over the U.S., plus Canada, the U.K., and New Zealand, and included veteran performers as well as debut artists in a wide variety of musical genres.
This year's awards were hosted by two artists who have received Out Music Awards in past years: folk poet and queer artist activist Alex Olson and pop and dance music singer-songwriter Ari Gold.
We're starting our coverage with an artist who's won Out Music Awards in past years, Mark Weigel. This year, he received the award for Outstanding New Recording Male for his double CD set entitled Soul Sex.
For Outstanding New Recording Female, the award went to Nedra Johnson for her album just called Nedra.
Any way you need her, she will come.
Yes.
Any way you need her, she will come.
Oh yeah, by the intentions of your heart, know that you can call on God. And any way you need her, she will come.
In the category of Outstanding Debut Recording Male, Kevin Cahoon took home the honor for his very energetic album, Doll.
The variety of the awards presented was demonstrated early in the ceremony when the award for Outstanding Debut Recording Female was presented to Melissa Fogarty for her classical album, Handel, Scorned, and Betrayed.
I feel like I should go, ah! Anyway, well, Scorned and Betrayed is the last thing I'm feeling as I accept this wonderful trophy. And thank you, judges, for choosing me to receive such an honor. And congratulations to all the nominees in this category. I'm honored to have been included in such an amazing pool of talent. And that goes for actually all the nominees. Thank you to Eve Sicular of Isle of Klesbos for letting me know about Out Music and urging me to submit my CD. Thank you to Out Music founders Dan Martin and Michael Biello. Enormous thanks and gratitude to Ed Mannix. Your tireless work and infectious enthusiasm is greatly appreciated. Yeah. One quick last thing. This is definitely my most out and proud moment as a queer musician, and for that, I'm so grateful to Out Music. Thank you.
And it was a good day for classical music, as seen by the next two awards. Composer David Del Tredici received the Out Music Award for Outstanding New Recording Instrumental for his work, Paul Revere's Ride.
Susan and you, some heroes of midnight ride, the ball review on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day, and you who remembers that famous day, and you.
For the category of Outstanding Producer, Thomas C. Moore was honored for several classical releases issued during the year.
Very honored to be here. Thank you all. And again, I'm representing the classical community here, and I'm very proud to represent this community. I'm very proud to represent the gay community. And I want to honor all the artists who have been nominated and all the artists who have performed, because without these artists, I couldn't do what I do.
There were three special awards given during the show. They are designed to recognize extraordinary contributions to the out music community over the years.
Kathy Reeser was given the Outstanding Support Award, which is for exemplary involvement by non-musicians in supporting and furthering the work of GLBT musicians. For the last 10 years, Kathy has been host and producer of the program Out Loud and Queer on WJFF Radio Catskill in Jeffersonville, New York.
Another special recognition award was given to Junior Vasquez. His name is hardly new to fans of dance music due to his expertise as a DJ, remixer, and producer of both famous and new artists.
And the last honorary award was the Out Music Heritage Award, which went to Tom Wilson Weinberg. In the late 70s, Tom began singing queer-themed songs in gay coffee houses, which led to his 1979 album, Gay Name Game, one of the earliest of that genre. He also brought queer lyrics to musical theater for several productions and continues with new projects to this day.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Michael and Dan and the Out Music Board, Ed Mannix, and everybody who's been involved in this great afternoon.
You're listening to a special Out Music Awards edition of Audiophile here on This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Christopher David Trentum. There were awards given this year in three new categories. The styles of the nominees in the category of inspirational recording ranged from spoken word and political to religious.
And the recipient is a veteran of inspirational recordings. She's Marcia Stevens Pino, who won for her album, You Called Us Good.
Created in your image. All so different, and yet we're just like you. You know us best, yet love us most. Imperfect works of art, others see the outer shell, but you know us by heart. You called us good. You called us good.
Marcia's good friend, Christian Andreasen, enthusiastically accepted the award on her behalf.
Let me tell you something about Marcia Stevens. She is a pioneer. And, you know I was up for this category with her, but I am thrilled that she got this award. She's called the mother of contemporary Christian music. She wrote a hymn. She's an awesome, awesome lady, and I want to accept this for her because 5 years ago, well, 6 years ago, we had the Glamas, and she was there for me, and she held my hand, and this time she got it, and I am thrilled.
This was also the first year for the category of graphic design for an album cover, which went to an artist going by the name of Scrojo for his creative cover for the CD White Trash Girl by Candy Kane.
And the last new category was for Outstanding Video, won by Lucas Hauser, producer of a video for hip-hop artist Caswell for his song, Do You Want to Break Up? Caswell accepted the award.
I can't believe anyone even saw the video, so it's really nice to be here. I know that everybody got involved in the music industry for their own personal reason, but I really, truly hope that some way, somehow, we all start to make a lot of money. I really think that's when a lot of change is going to happen, because no one gets attention like the one making the dollars, and hopefully that'll be me too, and God bless you, thank you.
It seems every time the members of the group Girly Man release an album, they win an OutMusic Award. It happened again this year when their CD Little Star won for Outstanding New Recording, Duo, or Group.
Much higher energy level were the winners for Outstanding New Recording Band, the group Triple Cream, for their album This Might Hurt.
Seasonal releases are always very popular in the category of outstanding chorus or choir, which proved true this year for the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus and their album Home for the Holidays live at the Castro Theater.
The most competitive categories this year was for Outstanding Songwriter. Toshi Regan was presented the award for her album, Have You Heard?
Can I tell you that you feel no pain? Can I tell you? Won't you call and you'll be back again? Can I tell you? Didn't I tell you that you want some?
Most of the winners are decided by a panel of judges, but the final two awards are chosen by votes of the entire OutMusic membership. The OutMusician of the Year Award for 2006 was given to New York rocker Robert Urban. He was recognized not only for his music, but also for his cultural activism.
Thank you very much. This means a lot. I really want to thank the members of OutMusic. You have no idea how much this means. Thank you very much.
And a very special award is Out Song of the Year. It is designed to honor the song that best speaks to our GLBT experience. This year's honor went to Jen Foster for the title track from her album, The Underdogs.
Second grade, Billy Sims, playing out by the jungle gym. All the boys laughed at him for some sort of speech impediment, and they knocked him down, and I pushed them off, and they kicked our asses, cause we were the underdogs.
Thank you guys so much. You know, when I was growing up, I always felt kind of on the outside and a little bit alone. And I know now that that was a lot because I was gay and I was dealing with that. And the Underdogs is sort of a tribute to the strength that it takes to be yourself. And I commend all of you here tonight because I know if you're here, you're being yourself. So I just want to dedicate that to you. And I want to thank everybody that's helped me, my street team, Beth Tallman, my girlfriend Kelly. I just, you know, love to all of you guys. Thank you so much.
The OutMusic Awards are just one aspect of OutMusic's activities, which include monthly events around the U.S. To find out more about OutMusic, please visit www.outmusic.com, where there are links to the websites of the winners of the awards and much more.
That's it for this special edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas, 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm Christopher David Trentum.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
It's a melodious half-hour collection of our audiophile producers' picks for the best queer-created music of 2005.
We are flowers, wanting flowers. I'm a white trash girl from the wrong side of town.
Take the time to understand the way I feel inside.
Log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can own the Audiophile 2005 Year in Review. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Kathy Sanchez, Charles Hall, Rex Wachner, Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, and J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can now listen online to This Way Out exclusively at outinamerica.com. Click on the features link on their front page. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air and choose from some special LGBT history, music, and culture CD thank you gifts. That's thiswayout.org. To sign up for our weekly emailed program information messages and or our occasional This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WSUI, Iowa City, Iowa, CJSF, Burnaby, British Columbia, Boise Community Radio, Boise, Idaho, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT. And JD isn't with us tonight because he's at the Out Music Awards.
No, he's doing something else for work.
Oh.
It's a work assignment. But okay. He was just with us because he was on Audiophile.
That's
the
right.
The wonders of technology. So we're never without anyone here, actually.
That's right.
But before...
In spirit. Digital spirit.
Especially after that Bewitched thing.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Spirits everywhere. Before I forget, I want to let everyone know that James Campbell of the Houston Chronicle, he's the reader's representative, he'll be on talking with us about the response that the Chronicle received during the articles that were printed during the month of June as part of the coverage of Pride and the approach towards GLBT issues in current mainstream media. He's a very interesting journalist, and I think that'll be a very interesting segment. And then we're also going to have one
I was going to say, a segue right into on July the 24th, I'm going to have Isaiah Carey from Fox.
Isaiah Carey, excuse me.
I'm always messing up on names. Isaiah Carey, who's Fox 26 reporter, who did a follow, he was there doing the reporting on Sergeant Oliver when the press conference, and then he did a follow-up article on Fox with Phyllis Fry and myself on transgenders after the transition and how they're living their lives. And so I'm going to have him on and ask him the questions, you know, the policies, the media, and the handling of GLBT people in the media.
Mm-hmm. So we're kind of have a theme going.
We got it. Well, it's good enough.
And then one of our favorite folks, Carol Wyatt, will be here ranting, doing what she does best, the Wyatt rant. And she will let us know her thoughts about, you know, whatever the current political climb is.
She's going to let us know her thoughts ahead of time?
She probably will. You can always get her on socialnoteshouston.com.
Oh, that's where I can find. So yeah, what was it again? Socialnoteshouston.com. Okay, I'll remember that.
Her rants, and then on FemNet, the Feminist Online Network on Yahoo Groups, you can get the different things that I send out. So there's ways to stay connected to things happening in the community. One of the things that's happening is this coming weekend is a big fundraiser that is benefiting Legacy Community Health Services.
Good people.
The Assistance Fund and the Montrose Clinic joined forces and became Legacy, and they're having the Mr. and Miss Mint Julep contest.
Oh,
and
that's gonna ever be, so.
Yes, that's going to be on Sunday, July the 16th. Showtime is at 3 p.m. And for information, you can contact Sonia Alton at 713-830-3015. That's going to be at Rich's, 2401 San Jacinto. And there's no cover. Does that mean no one's going to have clothes on? No.
No, they won't. You don't have to wear hats.
In fact, I think a lot of people are going to have clothes on. It from the looks, the Austin Baptist women are going to be there. You know, have you ever seen them?
No, I haven't seen the Austin Baptist women.
They're kind of like the Greater Tuna people.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Oh, yes. they're men dressed up as women, but they call themselves the Austin Baptist women, and they're hysterical. So that is...
Oh, now when is that again? That sounds good. I want to go
Sunday,
see that.
Sunday the 16th at 3 p.m. at Rich's. And for more information, you can call Legacy Legacy Community Health Services at 713-830-3015. The Mr. and Ms. Mint Julep, Night of 19. Ooh, I'm really losing it. 2006.
It's on the 16th. Yes. Well, I liked it when you were channeling Georgia Peach a moment ago.
Yes,
it
just, I can do that.
It was ever so nice.
In the South.
Should I feel bad that I have no idea who that is?
I don't know who Miss Georgia Peach is. I just was doing
it. Oh, I was talking about the other person's contest, too. I was like,
oh, Miss Mint Julep.
What a mint julep is?
Not a clue.
No.
It's a beverage.
It's a beverage. An adult beverage. And when you're an adult, you'll know.
When you're on the veranda, you sit there and you sip your mint julep. I don't know that I've ever had.
Well, before you go to this, to the fundraising event, the women's group, which is a feminist group, on the Sunday the 16th, it meets at Sojourner Truth Room on the third floor of the First Unitarian Universalist Church. Now, if y'all don't know where that is, that's 5200 Fannin at Southmore. And if you have any questions about it or need to contact anybody, you can contact Iris and Sizemore at 713-529-8571. This coming Sunday is Denise O'Doherty,
one of our
favorites here, and she's going to be doing a class on successful dating and relationships, as if we don't all need that. And it's basically what works and what doesn't work. And if y'all can go there, that would be wonderful. Matter of fact, I was mentioning she was on here several months ago talking about just that sort of thing.
And it's a feminist group for all women, and it meets at 10:45 a.m.
I'm sorry, I forgot to say when.
We had a wonderful group of women in law enforcement this past Sunday.
Uniforms and everything. Did you like that?
Yes, I did.
Ellie, Ellie, what's going on?
We've got a small announcement here. Queer Bingo will not be held as scheduled on Saturday, July 15th, because they're getting a visit from the Texas Lottery Commission, the state agency which sanctions the game. So Queer Bingo will be back next month, Saturday, August 19th, at Club 1415 at 1415 California.
Yeah, they're going to be Hawaiian theme. Yeah, and they have done so well with the Queer Bingo that they're going from having a temporary license to having doing the paperwork to get a permanent license.
Yeah.
So it has been delayed. I know a lot of people were planning to go.
That's right. It gives me another month to lose weight so I can wear my Hawaiian outfit.
Are you going
to
go sarong or grass skirt?
I'll just surprise you.
Okay, I'll surprise you too then. That's a promise. And we're getting close. Do we have enough time for one more announcement, Glenn? Okay, go.
This is Jennifer again. XM Radio, those of you who have that, and if you don't get it, because now, for sure, we have our own show. I say we, meaning the GLB, The Agenda, with Joe Simonis. It's going to be on Mondays nights before our show. It'll be on from 6 to 8 Eastern Standard Time. So you can enjoy that on XM Satellite Radio, and it's called The Agenda because, as they say in the press release, we do have an agenda, our community does, and it's about equality and fairness.
And I think you can get a discount
on world domination.
Yes. You can get a discount on XM through HRC.org.
Yes.
So you can check out more about that.
And it's being promoted by HRC, so everyone, please join that and join us next week at Queer Voices when we'll have
Carol Wyatt, Joe Campbell, and who knows what else. And we want to thank our guests tonight. We had talking about the Bewitched Festival.
Joan Devlin.
With Mark Simpson. And that's coming up. Very big excitement there. And, of course, Pat Gandy. Happy birthday again, Pat. You're 75 years. And the Team Houston folks, Keith Wright and Gary Greer. Thank you for listening to Queer Voices from
KPFT 90.1 Houston.
And who are you?
LSR Saliba.
And
Jennifer Renee.
Deborah Bell.
And Glenn Holt. You have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 7 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, and Jack Valensky, with remote correspondents Joan Devlin in Iowa and David Elliott in Washington, D.C. For more information about guests, events, and organizations mentioned in the show, visit queervoices.org. Some of the music you heard is listed or available on J.D. Doyle's website, queermusicheritage.org. Be sure to listen every Saturday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
This fall, KPFT will hold an election to seat delegates on the local station board. There will be separate but parallel elections for both listener and staff delegates to the Pacifica Foundation's 5 local station boards. Board delegates are elected to bring diverse grassroots voices from the community into dialogue between the community and the station. Candidates are chosen in both listener and staff pools. There are 2 ways to qualify to vote and run. Listener candidates can contribute at least $25 to a foundation radio station. Volunteers can complete 30 or more verifiable volunteer hours at a foundation radio station. Nominations for the board begin June 25th and close September 25th. We'll post candidate data online, and after the nomination process is complete, post on-air candidate forums. Qualified voters will receive their ballots in the mail starting October 16th. Completed ballots will be due by November 5th.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.